Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. It's Lee and Keys, Real Talk, episode 86. What up, Lee?
Yo, what up, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. I'm chilling. You know, we got a few inches of snow out here in Boston, but, you know, it's nothing crazy. So I just came back in from shoveling a little while ago, but it's nothing like what we've had in the past couple of years, I'll tell you that. So I'm chilling. It's been a pretty good.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. We actually supposed to be getting snow all weekend, starting Friday night. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, supposed to get snow. Glad Monday is a holiday, so, you know, I ain't got to worry about the commute and the work Monday morning. So, you know, it's all good, just hanging in there, you know.
Yeah, man. You know, I know y'all get a good amount more snow out there in Denver than we do, right?
Yeah, this between February and March is when it's like really crazy for the snow. You know, we normally get last snow around Mother's Day weekend, and then that's when we start rolling to the springtime. So, you know, we still got a couple more months to go. But, you know, that's one of the things I hate about living out here is the snow, but I like living out here in the city. So that's one thing I got to deal with.
Yeah, man, things are, you know, are the way they are, but we adjust.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely a lot of stuff that I want to touch on tonight. You know, it might take us a few extra minutes, so for anybody who may be listening, bear with us. We're going to take a few extra minutes because I want to get into a number of things tonight. Because we're at a place right now where you just had, you know, ESPN kind of just, it still feels like ESPN era really just kicked off. So you had a couple ESPN cards, you know, ESPN and UFC Fight Night cards. Then you had a UFC 234 event, which just happened. That was three nights ago now. So I want to talk about that a little bit. We're going to recap UFC 234 event. Then you have the UFC Phoenix event, which is, you know, going down in I think it's actually on Sunday. So it would be
Sunday.
In 5 days. Yeah, so we're 5 days out from UFC Phoenix. It's kind of weird that they're having it on a Sunday. I guess I'll probably still watch it, but I mean, I can say one thing. It kind of throws me off because, I mean, I don't know if you're talking to Sunday day or Sunday night, but I mean, if you're going to do, I know one thing, if you're going to do a UFC card on a Sunday night at like 10 o'clock, you know, main card, I don't know, depending on like the likelihood of me watching that versus a Saturday night. It's definitely less likely. I know I'll find a way to tune in, but it's definitely less convenient having it on. You know, I really like those Saturday night cards. That's just my preference.
Yeah, Keys, I think you missed that Monday is a holiday. So that's probably why they're doing it Sunday.
Oh, so it's a long weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the UFC Phoenix card we want to talk about. You know, you have the return of, well, I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, you're supposed to have the return of Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez is supposed to be fighting Francis Ngannou in the main event. That's a big, pretty big stakes heavyweight fight, I would say. Then you're going to have the UFC 235 card, which, you know, today is February 12th, so we're going to be, we're about, you know, 2.5 to 3 weeks. We're probably about 2.5 weeks away from that card now. And honestly, you know, that's looking like to be the biggest card of the year right now. That card on paper is going to be a tough one to beat. I don't know how you follow up a card like that because it's so stacked. You know, if there's not at least one card on one, that was a mistake. If there's not at least one fight on that card that excites you, then I would just be completely shocked because it seems like there's a fight on there for everybody.
Yeah, UFC 235 is going to be that, man, if they can do all the pay-per-views after 235 like they're doing 235, this would be a good year for pay-per-views in the UFC. Because, man, I mean, you talking about stacked from head to toe. I mean, this card is unbelievable. And you can best believe Lee will be having a fight party on March 2nd. And we're going to have some fun. Because I can't even believe how stacked this card is, man. It's so stacked that the preliminary fights could be main event fights. You got Jeremy Stephens against the Beat. You got my man Johnny Walker stepping in to fight Misha Cirkunov. You got Diego Sanchez and Mickey Gall. Man, this card is stacked. You got Marlon Vera fighting on the card. You got Pollyanna Viana fighting on the card, man. This card is hellacious.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable because, you know, you were supposed to have the Ovince St. Preux and Misha Cirkunov fight, and then, you know, Ovince St. Preux fell out of the fight. I don't know what the reason was, but Ovince St. Preux fell out of the fight, and then, you know, right when I saw that, I knew Johnny Walker was going to step in because he just only took, you know, a minute's worth of quote-unquote damage in his last fight at UFC Fortaleza. So, and then after the fight, he said he's definitely looking to jump right back in there.
For Miami, which is in April.
Yeah, so, you know, he wants to jump right back in there. And then, not knowing that, you know, for a light heavyweight bout, that Ovince St. Preux, you know, for 235, that Ovince St. Preux is gonna fall out of the fight, and then there's that open space for Johnny Walker to just insert himself right into the picture, which is just crazy because now he's fighting a ranked guy. I'm pretty sure Misha Cirkunov is in the top 15 at light heavyweight. I'm not sure where, but I'm pretty sure he's in there. I want to say he's like between the number 10 and 15 area, somewhere in there. But yeah, that's just crazy. You know, I knew that he was gonna. I figured he would just jump right on that, and then I saw his account. You know, whoever manages his account or whatever tweeted saying that, you know, that he has some fight news coming pretty soon. So I was like, okay, this guy definitely just, you know, jumped right in there, got in contact with the UFC and said he'd be willing to step in for that fight against Cirkunov. So now we're seeing that also on the John Jones card, which is just crazy because there was also somebody the other night after Johnny Walker's win at UFC Fortaleza who had tweeted at John Jones asking if he had saw Johnny Walker's performance. And John Jones had actually replied to the tweet and said that I think he said that he didn't see it and that he never saw the guy fight, but that he had like heard good things about him or something. Yeah, he said something like that. Like I think he said that like, he never saw him perform, never saw him compete, but he's heard good things about him or something like that. John Jones replied along those lines of something, you know, kind of dismissive, you know, kind of in a dismissive tone, I would say. Kind of wasn't really, you know, I think people that, you know, they kind of jumped to conclusions thinking that, oh, like John Jones, like got to be checking for this guy. Like, nah, like John Jones ain't checking for nobody. Like, I mean, Johnny Walker has been looking good, but like you can't expect that like John Jones is really thinking about that. I mean, especially he already has a title fight that he's already preparing for. So you can't expect him to even be thinking about anybody else. Especially a guy who is a new kid on the block. This guy really just came around, you know, like last week. Not literally last week, but you all know what I mean. He's only had like two fights in the division, so you can't expect John Jones to really be checking for him, especially that guy. So, but it is just ironic though. Even if he wasn't, you know, I'm pretty sure John Jones will see his Johnny Walker's performance, being that he is on his undercard, or that actually might even be on the main card, but he's. On John Jones' undercard. It's on the undercard?
Yeah, it's on the preliminaries. It's the the co-main event of the prelims. Yeah, it's the co-main event of the prelims because Jeremy Stephens as a beat is the headliner for the prelims.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm just thinking that if John Jones had never seen it before, I'm thinking it's more likely now, seeing that it's a guy, it's one of his undercard fighters pretty much. So I don't think it's impossible that John Jones will probably see the Johnny Walker fight that night, and then he'll have seen the guy compete once in his experience. But yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be – that's going to be a crazy card. It's just ironic that, you know, how the stars align, you know, in that way. That fight, I feel like off top has like 10 fights. Like that card is so stacked, you might as well just have two main cards. Like you could have like a main card / prelim, which is technically just the pre-main card. Like that's how stacked that card is. You know, I might have to go look that up and just confirm.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they have technically two main cards at this point.
I mean, if you just look at the prelims alone, the prelim fights are Diego Sanchez, Mickey Gall, Alejandro Perez, and Song Yong Dong, who I don't know any of them guys. Then you have Johnny Walker against Misha Cirkunov, and then Jeremy Stephens versus the Beat. But if you want to add a fifth fight like they normally do, you'll probably have Vera versus Frankie Sands. So that'll probably be your fifth fight. So actually you could put together a pretty good fight night card off the prelims.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's pretty crazy. This is gonna be a good card. But the thing about it is we just need to chill a little bit with this card too, because it's one of those things you kind of just gotta like not anticipate it and just like let it come, like let it arrive on its own, and just not anticipate it too much. Because I remember looking at UFC 225 last year the same way. I was like, oh man, you're gonna have, you know, Robert Whittaker and Yoel Romero. You're going to have, you know, Holly Holm and whoever she fought. You're going to have, you know, CM Punk is fighting whoever he fought, you know, at the time when we thought maybe he was going to be, you know, half decent. And then whoever else, I can't think off top. But there was, like, the 225, I just remember feeling the same way. And a lot of main cards, I always think the same way, and I've just tried to change that recently and not let myself get too hyped, because when you hype and you let yourself get too excited, sometimes you end up feeling like it was an underwhelming card. You feel underwhelmed with the actual product once you get there. You know, sometimes it's the cards that you really don't expect and you don't really get that hype for that end up being the really good cards, and just let it go. So I think this might got to be one of those cards. I know the UFC is going to want to promote it, you know, crazy in the next couple of weeks, but these are one of those things, maybe it's best for us just to not believe in the hype too much and just let the card go and just watch it and just appreciate it when it comes and don't really talk about it too much, because then that you might end up, you know, it might be not what you expected when you overhype it like that.
I don't know, man. I mean, this one of those cards that, you know, that you get hyped about. I mean, it's kind of hard to temper your expectations, but I mean, me personally, I can't wait for this card. But to get back to what you was talking about, Johnny Walker and the John Jones thing, I think I agree with you that John probably wasn't trying to, like, you know, shortchange Johnny Walker. Thing is, probably, really, he's training. He probably caught, you know, the UFC 234. He probably caught that probably on a rerun, or probably just caught the highlights or whatever. Dude, he's training. Probably he's studying Anthony Smith. But at the same time, is why would he be focused on Johnny Walker when Johnny Walker basically isn't on his radar as of yet? So, you know, I don't think he was trying to try Johnny Walker. I think he answered honestly. And to be honest, what did he miss? I think the fight lasted, what, like 13 seconds, 15 seconds, something like that. So he really didn't miss anything. So, but I think this fight against Serkanov should be a good fight. It should be a good test for him. I really don't know too much about Serkanov, but I know he's ranked. So we'll see what happens at 235. But, you know, if you actually look at this UFC Fight Night for Phoenix card that's coming up Saturday, this card is actually isn't that bad either. This card is actually shaping up to probably be maybe one of the strongest Fight Night cards, you know, for ESPN. You have Kanan Ngannou, James Vick and Paul Felder. You got Bruce Leroy versus Kron Gracie. And I think Gracie, Nate Diaz is going to be in his corner. You got Feely versus Miles Jewelry. And then one of me and your favorites, you got Aljamain Sterling fighting Jimmy Rivera in the prelims.
Oh,
the headline of the prelims. So, you know, you got some fights on this thing. So you got some names up here. You got Ashley Evans Smith, the female fighter who's pretty good. Nick Lentz is fighting on this card. Hannah Burrell is fighting on this card. Jessica Penn is on this card. This card is actually pretty good, man. You got Cynthia Calvillo on this card. So this UFC Fight Night Phoenix card should be good. And when you said something about Sunday, I think UFC did Bellator a solid by not having their fight on Saturday so that Bellator could have their event on Saturday. So basically the MMA fans could have basically two events to watch this weekend.
Yo, that's really the one that I'm looking forward to for this weekend, to be honest with you. You know, Cain Velasquez and Francis Ngannou is cool, but I'm really looking forward to that, though, is the Michael Venom Page and Paul Daly fight. That's really the one for this weekend that I'm really dying to see. That's the fight that I'll be checking for, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that fight, too, because like I said on the last show, I did tell this one guy that I would watch Bellator's next event with unbiased, and I'll give my opinions of the Bellator event via Twitter as the night progresses. I'm definitely looking forward to the Paul Daly-Michael Page fight. I think it was a question today on Twitter they asked about the fight, and I said, you know, Paul Daly normally comes up kind of small doing major big fights. So I'm hoping he changes that and give us the fight that we all want. And people that don't know about Michael Venom Page, just go and check his fight against Cyborg's husband or boyfriend and see what he did to his skull with a flying knee. And just off of that alone, you'll be impressed. You'll probably be grossed out too, but you'll be impressed. He had a hell of a performance against him. And, you know, I'm actually curious about this Bellator event. Even though I'm not a fan of Bellator, you know, I've always said that. I just think Bellator is where guys that can't cut in the UFC, where they go to try to reestablish themselves or resurrect their career. So that's just my opinion. And like I said, I'll be watching Saturday with unbiased as I could possibly be, and I'll give you guys an update.
And then I just realized, too, that, you know, I was wondering if there was a space in between the Cain Velasquez and Ngannou card in the UFC 235. There actually is another Fight Night card at the O2 Arena in between, and that one has...
That's Darren Till.
Nah, not that one. This one has Jan Blachowicz and Thiago Santos main event.
So they have two events in London this year?
I don't know. It says venue O2 Arena. Maybe they got it wrong where I'm reading it, but I'll have to look into that more.
Okay.
But, yeah, this one's saying they got Jan Blachowicz and Thiago Santos. So that's a fight that I'm looking forward to seeing. And then you also have another fight that I'm looking forward to seeing is your boy John Dodson is fighting this prospect Piotr Jan. Piotr Jan is a bantamweight. He's 11-1, and he's a straight beast. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight. I think he fought last on the last John Jones card, and he was really impressive. I remember watching him, and I had no idea who he was, but he looked really good. So I'm interested to see him fight John Dodson on that card coming up.
He actually called Dodson out on Twitter today. He told Dodson, hopefully he's not riding on his bicycle during a fight, that he comes to fight so they can maybe get fight of the night. So he actually called Dodson out, so we'll see what happens. A lot of people might remember Dodson as, you know, fighting Demetrius Johnson. I think he was one of the first fighters to rock DJ, you know, probably one of the only fighters to rock DJ. And, you know, he fought DJ twice, lost DJ twice, of course. Then he moved up to bantamweight. But Dodson is one of the fastest guys in the bantamweight division, and he has heavy hands. So we'll see what Peter Yan can do against him. Dodson is still a formidable competitor. You know, he has one of the strongest fight camps in his back pocket, Winkle John. So it should be a good fight. We'll see what happens, though. If I had to put my money on it, I would probably go with Jan just because I think he has a little bit more wrestling background. Even though Dodson is considered a fairly good wrestler himself, I think Dodson probably had the advantage of speed. So it should be a good matchup.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, one thing that I want to, there's definitely a good handful of cards in, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be good. It should be good. I mean, like I said, if I hype something too much, sometimes I end up being disappointed, but I just want to wait and just see how it goes. You also have Derek Lewis is fighting pretty soon too. Derek Lewis is coming back pretty soon, so that'll be good. But I mean, I can't look at everything because I get too excited. And you just let it, you know, let the fights come as they come, you know, and not let myself get too excited because then sometimes I end up being, you know, not as satisfied with the product, you know, at that point. But one thing I want to, you know, cycle back to is, you know, this past weekend you had the UFC 234, and I was talking to a guy earlier today, and you know, he was saying that he was kind of dissatisfied with the card. I mean, he didn't say that exact word, but I mean that if I had to put what he said into one word, I'd probably say he was dissatisfied with the card, to say the least. I think a lot of people were, you know, I understand the people's disappointment, you know, because especially, you know, with the main event, you know, a lot of people were looking forward to that fight. I mean, I was disappointed. That was a huge blow to the card to lose Robert Whittaker out of the main event. And, you know, I think there was a ton of us that were hoping to see him fight. You know, at the same time, you know, we all got to understand, you know, the man had to go into pretty much an emergency surgery, you know, the same day. So, you know, he had health issues that he was going through and things he had to take care of for his physical health. So we all have to understand that. And, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know the severity of what it is that he was going through or is going through. But I do respect the fact that, you know, fighters, I want guys to go in there healthy. I don't want, you know, I mean, you know, I don't want guys to be endangering themselves by going and getting in there fighting. You know, Dana White had said that, you know, if he took a blow, you know, if he took a shot like to the stomach or something, he said, I think it could have killed him. Yeah, he could have died. So I'm glad that Whitaker, you know, pulled himself out of the main event and went and got that surgery done, so he wouldn't be endangering himself. You know, it's you got to look at it in more than one way, because you know we can't be mad at that. You know, Whitaker's got to, you know, salute to him. He's got to watch out for himself and for his health. So I'm glad that he did that. I mean, but you know, aside from that, the card itself, I thought, you know, I watched the prelims, but I really didn't. I can't think of like really the only moments I really remember from the card. I mean, there was good fights, but it did seem a little bit. It seemed a little bit dry, the card, I thought, you know, while I was watching it. It just didn't have that UFC main card feel. It didn't have that fight night feel, really, when I was watching it. And you know, the moments that I really remember was probably, like, the De La Rosa fight. You know, De La Rosa and Nadia Kassem, De La Rosa dominated that one. I remember her performance. You know, she pretty much dominated all three rounds with her wrestling. I remember the Devontae Smith performance, because I think he had like a first round knockout. I predicted that one. Devontae Smith is definitely a prospect. I think he'll be big in the UFC going forward. I remember the Lando Venata fight, because Lando Venata actually won me, actually saved my night for bets. I want to explain what happened with Lando Venata. You know, he actually saved me for bets, because I was actually down. I was down a little bit before I get into that too, there was the other performance that I remembered was Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute and Sam Alvey fight. Yeah, Crute had a really good performance too. I think he had like a first or second round stoppage. Jimmy Crute's a young prospect too. I think he'll be somebody to keep our eyes on, you know, going forward in the next couple of months. I'm sure he'll want to make a rather quick turnaround too, because he really didn't take much damage in the fight, I thought. I thought that was a pretty fair stoppage, by the way, too, in that fight. I thought, you know, he was raining down shots on Sam Alvey, so I really don't understand what we're looking at this point when we say it's an early stoppage. I mean, if guys are getting rained down on with shots, how much damage does a guy need to take before the ref stops the fight? I don't understand what people are looking for. Same thing with the Cejudo and Dillashaw stoppage. Dillashaw made it sound like that the fight was a premature stoppage. How is that a premature stoppage? I mean, the only reason that you could say is that, it was a title fight, and that how could you stop the fight so early in a title fight? Well, I don't know. Maybe try and save the guy from getting killed. He's getting rained on with, like, you know, shot after shot, and he's not doing anything. So I thought the ref's job was to cut the fight short when a guy's not even defending himself. And if you ask me, TJ Dillashaw was not defending himself. And if you ask me, Sam Alvey wasn't defending himself. He was covering up because he was getting rained on with shots. And then he had the audacity. I don't even understand why the guy flipped out on the referee like it was a bad stoppage. So moving on from that anyways. Go ahead. I want to give you the floor. Go ahead. Explain that.
On the reason I thought it was a bad stoppage is because he was getting rained on, but the guy was hitting his arms. It wasn't like he was punching him in the face, you know, or in the temple or nothing like that. He was punching him in the arms. Sam Alvey was actually protecting himself, you know, from getting punched in the face. So I could see if he was taking shots like Gustafson was taking for Rumble Johnson when he was down, when Rumble was down there, like he was going to break his neck from some of those shots. So that's why I thought it was an early stoppage. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying. The referee is in there to protect the fighters from themselves. You would hate for somebody to get seriously injured in the octagon because the ref didn't do their job. Crute put on a good performance. I thought I didn't think Alvey was out of it. I definitely thought Dillashaw was out. I think Dillashaw has been a terrible loser right now, and he just needs to shut up and fight Marlon Moraes and just keep the 135 division going. And Cejudo needs to fight Benavidez. Is it Benavidez or Bermudez? One of them. I always get that mixed up. But
yeah,
he needs Benavidez. He needs to fight Benavidez and, you know, maybe put him on the same card and see what happens. But, you know, the refs do have a hard job. You know, it's a job that I wouldn't want to do. All of us look at fights kind of differently. You know, I thought the card this weekend, I was so amped up to see Bobby Knuckles fight because we haven't seen him fight in so long. And, you know, Gastelum had been talking a lot of noise. And actually, Gastelum surprised me by coming in weighing 184, especially what they said. I think he came in at 220 plus 3 days before the fight. So, you know, he did a good job of cutting down weight. And actually, he didn't look bad either. So I was definitely surprised about that. I think Whitaker, man, he just – I hate to say it, but he just seems like a guy that's injury prone. I know this is kind of like unpredictable what happened to him, but it just seems like he's snake bitten with injuries. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but bro, the 185 belt hasn't been defended since Bisping lost to GSP. Because remember, Yoel Romero didn't make weight, so he wasn't eligible to win the belt if he won. So that doesn't count as a title defense. So the 185 belt hasn't been defended, man. And I'm at the point now where I don't want to say Adesanya versus Kevin Gastelum for the interim belt because I think Jacare should be in there somewhere. I think Yoel Romero has had some good fights at 185. So I don't know what the UFC does at this point. They say Bobby going to be out maybe 4 to 6 weeks. I think you can still schedule him versus Gastelum. And I think Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa is they're trying to schedule that fight. And I think the next fight for Adesanya probably should be against Jacare Souza. And then we'll start to make hay of the 185 division, see where people at, see where they stand, and then we'll go from there. And just to throw another idea out, I mean, it's really not an idea, but people can say what they want about Israel Adesanya versus Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva looked damn good Saturday, especially with the time off that he's had. He looked good against a guy that's probably as fast as that he'll probably ever fight in the octagon, a guy that's super younger than him. I don't want to say he's at least 15 years younger than Anderson Silva. So for people to say that Israel Adesanya put on an underwhelming performance, that's BS, man. Anderson Silva is still one of the greatest fighters to ever do it. He has a certain skill set that's unpredictable, and you have to respect him in the octagon. I think Adesanya fought a smart fight. He did a little bit of showboat, but, you know, he protected himself at all times, and he didn't fall for any Anderson's little tricks or hand movements and stuff like that. But how many middleweights actually would have beat Anderson Silva Saturday night outside of Israel Adesanya? So, people, y'all have to respect Anderson Silva. He put on a hell of a performance on Saturday night.
So, wait, so are you trying to say that I'm confused about this? I mean, one is that I thought Anderson Silva, he looked good in there. I thought he looked really good. I think he definitely shut up a lot of people who made it sound like that he couldn't take a shot anymore because clearly you could see him taking – there was a few moments where he just put his hands down and basically
and
just let
Adesanya punch him in the face.
Yes, he basically just let Adesanya get off like multiple shots on him at a time. And I believe he was doing that on purpose. I mean, that's been his style for a while. That's what he does. Anderson Silva, you know, it looks like he's being cocky, but that's what he does. He puts his hands down. Anderson Silva is like a god in there, all right? That people just forgot. I think he shut up a lot
exactly.
of people.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Who thought he was – I think he shut up a lot of people who thought that he couldn't take a shot anymore. He shut up a lot of people who thought that he was too slow to hang with these new guys. Clearly, he can hang with these new guys. And third is that they thought that he didn't have any more gas left in the tank. And clearly, Anderson Silva, okay, he may be 43 years of age, but guess what? He don't give a damn, okay? He's still got gas left in the tank. And after that, you don't have to look at that fight and say, okay, I think he should retire. A lot of these guys, you look at these fights now and you say, okay, they need to retire. You look at, you know, for example, Frank Mir. You see Frank Mir over at Bellator. You see him getting stopped, you know, first-round stoppages. He's getting stopped by all these new guys. He can't take a shot anymore. You know what I mean? You expect him to at least be competitive. He's getting knocked out left and right. That's a guy who should retire, in my opinion. You know, you see guys like that. You know, you can't say that about Anderson Silva, though, because him going in there and he's being, you know, putting up competitive fights with these guys, guys who, you know, some are claiming are in the title talks right now, you know, in Adesanya. And Anderson still got it, man. And his head movement is something that is going to be underrated forever. You know, he'll always be a high-level striker, and I think that it would really surprise me going forward if people would just still underestimate Anderson Silva. You know, I personally think, and disagree with me if you want, but I think Anderson Silva can still hang with a lot of these middleweights. You know, Gastelum really, I'm sick of hearing that guy talk, and he's only just really started talking. You know, just after this fight fell through, all of a sudden, Kelvin Gastelum is just this motor-mouth guy and all these interviews saying all this stuff. You know what? You know, I really don't even know. Kelvin Gastelum ain't even that good, right? To me, he ain't really that good, okay? He slipped by. You know, I didn't see this Jacare Souza fight. I mean, he lost to Weidman. But, you know, I don't really see, you know, and then he fought Bisping, who was like at 10%, and then they're using the highlight reel from him knocking out Bisping. You know, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves for using that knockout. Bisping got choked unconscious, you know, like 3 weeks before he fought Gastelum. They shouldn't have even sanctioned that fight. Okay, a guy gets choked unconscious, you should not allow him to go fight a couple weeks after. All right, if you get finished in any shape or form, you should not be allowed to jump right back in there, you know, on with that quick of a turnaround, right? That cannot be healthy for a guy, you know, and they have the audacity to use that, you know, as if it gives Kelvin Gastelum some stock, all right? I don't care about that knockout. That is, does zero for Kelvin Gastelum. That's how I feel about it. And I don't even think he's really that good, okay? So Kelvin Gastelum, I think he would lose to Yoel Romero. If he was in there with Anderson Silva, maybe he wins. You know, he might have won the decision. I don't know. I don't think he could have stopped Anderson Silva. I honestly don't think any of these middleweights would have stopped Silva that night, to be honest. Y'all making it sound like this guy has been getting knocked out his whole career. Anderson Silva doesn't get stopped. So I don't know where that
exactly.
narrative even came from. He got
That's
knocked out
saying.
By Weidman. You know, he took that lucky shot that Weidman landed on him years ago. And the only reason that the shot even dropped him was because he was doing his thing with putting his hands down, and he was just bobbing his head around and basically was just showboating and got clipped with a lucky
caught.
Shot. That's the only reason that even happened. So ever since then, now everybody want to make it seem like Anderson Silva has been getting stopped his whole career, but those people have not been watching. Right, clearly you have not been watching the same guy that I've been watching, because he doesn't get knocked out. I don't think any of these middleweights can knock him out. So that's the end of it.
Yep, that's what I was saying. I mean, basically, you just repeated everything I said. I think Weidman is definitely overrated. I think since he beat Anderson Silva, he has, maybe a .500 record. Chris Weidman, he's one of these guys, man, that's overrated, overhyped. And basically, to me, he's a I don't. If I was making a UFC card, he would probably be on the prelim card. I just don't think he's a pay-per-view guy. He don't have pay-per-view skills. The reason he even has a name in the UFC is because of the two fluke wins he got against Anderson Silva. Chris Weidman, stop talking bad about Israel Adesanya. Adesanya is what's hot now. He used to be hot. So, you know, win a couple fights and let's see what's on, see what you got left in the tank. So what else you got to talk about, Keys?
Well, the thing that just kills me about that, too, is that, you know, oh, wait a second. We actually have a caller in the queue. I didn't even realize. My bad, my bad. I'm going to queue this person into the call. But I just want to add one last thing. You know, as I jump somebody into the call, I just want to leave off with one last thing, is that Weidman, ever since USADA came in, has lost almost every fight that he's been in. So I don't even want to hear about Weidman anymore. Okay, I used to support this guy, but now he kills me coming out here and saying, you know, having the audacity saying to say that Adesanya is overrated. You're overrated too, bro. Everybody that he can't beat, you can't beat either. Okay, I'm pretty sure Weidman's lost 4 out of his last 5 fights. So he's really not in a position to be calling anybody overrated. He should just sit down, close his mouth, get back into the training camp, and focus on his opponents because he's losing every fight.
Hey,
and that's
jump,
what I have to say about that.
Hey, after you jump the caller in, I want to bring up something that I tweeted today, and I want to get your opinion on it.
I actually just did. Hey, who do we have on the line?
Hey, am I on?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the beep go off. Sorry, guys, it's Lou from Jersey.
What's going on, bro?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I know you've been talking about boxing, but, you know, my mind's been on the MMA trade deadline because the last few days have been a whirlwind, you know, for me. And, of course, did the Knicks get anything? Of course not. I know the season doesn't mean anything, but, you know, not even to get one player from this ridiculous sham of a season that we have gone through. I mean, it has been hell.
Talking about the Knicks?
10-46. Ugh.
Yeah, what, they lost 16 games in a row?
I think it's now up to 17.
Okay. Well, bro, you got to look at it like this. The Knicks are looking at this summer, free agency. They're looking at trying to bring in 2 superstars. I think Kevin Durant just relocated all his businesses to New York. And that might be a telltale sign of what he's going to do. And I think Kyrie Irving might be the guy that goes there also. I think Jimmy Butler isn't going to be in Philly. I think they probably try to probably recruit him. The only way they get Anthony Davis is they get the number one pick.
No.
So they'll probably have to trade the number one pick to New Orleans, maybe Zion Williamson for Anthony. My bad.
What's your take on Williamson anyway?
Huh?
What's your take on Williamson?
My take on Williamson is that he's a super athletic guy, suspect jump shot. He can get to the rim. He got crazy athleticism for his size. But the thing is a guy like him, you will have to put other good players around him. He couldn't be the focal point of your team because I don't think his skill set right now would be that dominating in the NBA. And also, I think with Williamson, I would have him lose some weight. I think being at 285 is heavy, especially when you're playing games every other day. You might be playing back-to-backs. The NBA schedule is 82 games. And I think that weight for a 19-year-old guy in the NBA probably isn't good. I would probably try to get him down about 260. You know, that's what LeBron plays at.
Well,
so
that
I would
doesn't probably, work. You can just play linebacker for football.
Well, I don't think the Jets going to draft him, so I don't think the Jets or the Giants going to draft him. So – I think Williamson probably needs to probably slim up a little bit, working his jump shot, and probably realize that he's going to go to a bad team and to work on his game. That's what I think on Zion Williamson.
Yeah, because, well, with the Knicks getting first pick in the draft, I mean, you know, there is a slight possibility that they could get him. But you know how it is with sometimes you get draft picks, they could either be, you know, a storybook success or they could be a bust. You know,
well,
you get all the hype from it, like, oh, this guy's gonna be great, he's great in college, but like when he gets to the pros, like, oh boy, what a letdown.
Well, you gotta realize that NBA teams, when they draft young players, they draft the guys based on upside. They think a guy's gonna get better. They don't think guys gonna remain the same. They think a guy's gonna get in the league, work on their game, get better under better coaching and stuff like that.
But at the same time,
young guys, they're not under a college coach who's gonna have 3-hour practices, you know, stuff like that. The NBA
But the thing is this, you know, I mean, he's only a freshman, and he's gonna have to grow up really fast. I mean, you know, is he going to be able to adapt to that? Only at 19 years old, he's playing up against, you know, seasoned veterans who, you know, maybe a case of whoop-ass if he doesn't get it right.
Well, that's why you have to be patient with young guys, especially in the NBA, because the game is a grown man's game, just like the NFL is a grown man's game.
Right.
I think with Zion, though, the thing is right now he's playing on a team that has 3 or 4 good players on it. So, basically, he's not asked to do everything with Duke, because JT Barrett and Cam Reddish and Trey Jones, those are three really, really good players. So, he's not asked to do everything. I think in the NBA – when he comes to the NBA, he needs to take that same attitude that, hey, I'm just one cog in the wheel. I'm going to do my thing. And I think the coaches need to put that in his head, too, that, hey, you just play your game. Let us put players around you to make you better. And you make your teammates better, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I just think sometimes, though, when, you know, when you get these freshman players and they make their case known against the NBA, I think they're pushing their luck a bit, to be honest. I don't think they're, you know, ready, you know, mature. You know, they still haven't grown up to do. They're 18, sometimes 19 years old. They still got to, you know, have a lot of growing up to do.
Well, that's the purpose of the G League, too. The purpose of the G League is for guys who you draft and their game isn't NBA ready yet. You put them down in the G League under NBA culture, under NBA systems, and you teach them the game. You let them work on their skill set. You let them work. You let them see how professionals in the NBA, how they take care of their body and stuff like that. And that's the purpose of the G League. Now, guys like Zion, Cam Reddish, JT Barrett, Ja Morant, them guys that will be coming in the league next year, they're going to have to learn on the fly because – they're going to be playing. They're going to be playing on the NBA stage. They are not going to be in the G League. So hopefully, you know, they have good agents, great teammates, and good coaching to help them get through that first year.
Yeah. Now, turning attention to another thing altogether completely, are you guys familiar with the new AAF league that just started this weekend?
No, what is that?
The new Alliance American Football, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I saw some highlights of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably catch one of the games this weekend. I kind of like the product for what I've seen so far because it's actually real football compared to the NFL. You know, the NFL is kind of watered down right now where there isn't violence in the game. There's a whole lot of things about player safety. You know, you got to think that most of these guys, you know, they was at the movie The Replacements comes in my head right now. That a lot of these guys were on the couch, got a phone call saying, hey, we're starting this little league, come play with us. They're getting 3 years, $250,000. I think it's non-guaranteed or something like that. But,
it's not.
You know, from what I've seen, it's a good product. But my question would be, what will happen with the AAF next year when the XFL comes along? Because I think the XFL – I think the XFL and the AAF should think about merging and becoming one league, and that way you'll have a better product and you'll have more teams. And hopefully they're, if they combine, they can have the backing of the NFL as a developmental league, and then you'll see more quality play if they were to combine.
You really think the XFL can succeed this time? Look what happened when they first came in. They crashed and burned.
Yeah, that's because they was trying to be a wrestling gimmick instead of being a serious football league. I think Vince McMahon has learned from his previous experience, and I think this time he does have some NFL backing to say. I think Roger Goodell and some of the owners I think they are looking at the XFL as being their G League. We'll see what happens. That might be the case. I think maybe if the XFL and the AAF continue to have success, I would basically want them to combine and become one league, and that'd be the NFL's G League. So you'll have football kind of all year round, and you'll have a quality product. So, and then plus it doesn't interfere with college football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's even though they don't have kickoffs in this league, so I always thought that'd be a minus, though.
Well, they're actually taking the kickoff away in the NFL too. If you look at the kickoffs, not only is getting kicked through the end zone, or some teams strategize as having the kicker kick it to about the 2-yard line, so the other team can advance it to no further than 25. But the kickoff is basically being eliminated from pro football anyway. So. It is what it is. They consider the kickoff being the most dangerous part of the game because guys are running at full speed. The collisions are a lot harder and faster. So, me personally, I'd rather the kickoff be incorporated in the league because it's one of the most exciting plays.
Don't
go back 100 yards. It takes away the onside kick. The onside kick is basically – teams can't recover onside kick unless the other team just makes a bonehead mistake and doesn't recover the ball. But, we appreciate you calling in, man. You got me talking football and basketball. I appreciate that, though.
Sure. Sorry if I was interrupting your regularly scheduled topic.
No problem, man.
Thanks for the call, brother.
All right. You guys now on Tuesdays, or this is just a one-time deal?
We normally try to go anytime during the week. Normally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then depending on the UFC events, you know, we might hop on Saturday before the fights.
Saturdays are bad for me because I have my own show.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday nights 6 to 8. I have a show of my own. So
You're the. I think I have it down. You're the sports talk show, right?
Yes. Yes, I do. Enhanced Sports Show.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I have that. It's the Enhanced Sports Show?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I have that down. I have that in mind. I have that down right
here. Great.
Yeah, no, yeah, I keep track here.
Well, we have another number now because the other number, I was getting, those kind of calls. So we had to change it to eliminate that. So
yeah, we
have
to change
number
our
now.
Number two.
So the number
what's
now
the number
is 712-775.
Okay.
7035. Then the PIN number, which is 410-173, and then the pound sign.
173 pounds.
Yeah, and the pound sign is very important.
going.
Yeah, we know.
73 pound sign.
Right. Well, wait. Now, you're located where?
I'm in Denver, and my co-host is in Boston.
All right. Six to eight for your friend in Boston, 4 to 6 for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you for updating us on that.
All right. Sure thing. Thanks.
I'll talk to you soon.
My bad, Keys. I ain't mean to take over like that, bro.
Nah, it's all, hey, it is what it is. I just don't, I don't have much to add into the topic. So, you know what I mean? I don't know a lot about, I don't really know anything about it. The football league you were talking about, I had heard about it, but I don't really know anything about what's been going on with it. And then the Knicks, the only thing I know about battling with them is that they traded Kristaps Porzingis. And I know, like, pretty much the whole fan base is disgusted about that, but that's really the only thing that I know about that.
The new American Alliance American Football League started this past weekend. Actually, they said they had over 3 million viewers in the first week. So that's actually pretty good. I just think football is the number one sport in America, man. And I don't think people get enough of football, even though – you know, these guys are guys that couldn't make it in the NFL, that's been cut, you know, they're trying to get another shot by showcasing their skills or whatever. And you really can't knock a guy for their hustle or trying to live their dream or recapture their dream. So, you know, actually them guys out there playing hard. So, you know, it is. I'm going to try to catch one of the games this weekend. Catch it live instead of watching the highlights. So the games come on the NFL Network. And, yeah, I'm going to try to catch one this weekend. But, man, he called in. He took up. Man, so on our next show, I got to talk about my tweet that I put out today that kind of, like, got some people riled up. But I think that, you know what, I'm going to just bring it up now. I think we can get it talked about in 5 minutes. So I tweeted earlier that when the UFC has pay-per-views, that being that they now on ESPN, I said that the prelims should actually be on the same channel as the pay-per-view. They should show the pay-per-view. They should show the prelims prior to the pay-per-view coming on because I don't think that it's fair for us to have to use ESPN Plus to watch the prelims if we buy the pay-per-view. When Fox was the carrier of the UFC, we got to watch the prelims on one of the Fox outlets. If it was Fox, FX, FS1, FS2, so we got the prelims for free. And it wasn't an inconvenience. So with ESPN Plus, with the app being the only way you can watch the prelims, I think that's bad business. They should have the fights on the same channel as the pay-per-view. How you feel about that? I know you agreed with me earlier.
Yeah, it's kind of whack. I mean, I actually saw you when you posted it, and yeah, I agree with you. I think it's stupid because a lot of people that are watching, you know, all the cards before, you were able to just watch them on Fox, and then you could just switch over from Fox to watch them on the pay-per-view. But then now it's like people can't watch the prelims unless they watch them on ESPN Plus. But I don't know. It's kind of – I mean, it sucks because for people who can't – people who aren't ESPN Plus subscribers, it sucks because now you have to pay for the prelims where before you could just watch it for free on Fox and then you could just go buy, you know, if you bought the pay-per-view, you could just jump right into your pay-per-view once that ends. But now it's like you're paying for everything. You're pretty much paying for, you know, I'm pretty sure even Fight Pass. I think they either do Fight Pass or the prelims. At least one is on regular ESPN. Like if they have a fight pass, then a prelim, then a main card. I know one of the two, either the fight pass or the prelims, when it's on when it's a pay-per-view card, you have one of those two, either the fight pass or the prelims that they've been doing on regular ESPNs for free, and then one, which is usually the prelims, is usually on, which is what people will start, where is usually where people will start tuning in at, is on ESPN Plus. So you don't end up getting to see it until the main card starts after that. You know, and but then if you're watching, you know, a fight night card, two out of three of those are on ESPN Plus, so you end up only being able to watch, you know, whatever one that they air on regular ESPN, which might only be the fight pass or might only be the prelims, but then you can't watch, if you're someone who wants to start watching that fight pass, then you can watch fight pass, then you don't see the prelims, or you see the prelims, but you don't see fight pass, you know, so you, if you're basically, if you don't have ESPN Plus, you're kind of losing out on a good chunk of the product. And that kind of sucks if you're somebody who, you know, is an avid fan and watches it, you know, watches all the events and you support all the UFC, you know, everything the UFC does. It kind of sucks. You know, so I agree with you on that. It's kind of lame that they won't just air the prelims on regular ESPN. But, I mean, I guess at the same time, like, I guess they probably want to have a piece of the pie, too, because if you're going to have a fight night card, no, if you're going to have a pay-per-view card, I meant to say, you know, they're not part of the pay-per-view portion. They want to make, you know, some piece of the pie on the viewership for what happens prior to that. So if you have a pay-per-view card, I you know, I can understand at the same time why they would want to have, you know, the fights before the main card on ESPN Plus, you know, for a paid subscription, you know, and then when it's a fight night card, I mean, that, I don't know, I mean, because they have some of it on regular ESPN for free and some is on ESPN Plus. So I don't know. I mean, I know, I just feel like they want to generate more revenue. And so
but
it's,
to me,
yeah,
that's bad for
the
fan, though. It's bad for the fan because when I buy the pay-per-view, they're running, what, the UFC countdown show back to back to back to back to back until the pay-per-view comes on. If I buy that, why can't you just have the prelims on instead of running the UFC countdown back to back to back to back? You should get a fan something in return for making the purchase of the pay-per-view. So,
yeah, I agree with that.
So that's all I was trying to say earlier. It's just that I just think the fan should get something out of it other than me having to go watch the prelim fight on ESPN Plus. Because let's just say for my setup, I'm down in my basement right now. My TV downstairs, it isn't a smart TV. It's an old school TV. So basically what I will probably have to do is probably tell my son, bring his PS4 downstairs, hook it up to the TV, put the ESPN Plus app on his PlayStation, and then I can watch the prelims on my TV down here, and then turn to the pay-per-view when it starts. All I'm saying is just put the prelims on the pay-per-view channel so that the fan can watch the prelims. I'm not saying put the fight pass fights on the pay-per-view channel, just the prelim card. That's it.
You're saying if the fan buys the pay-per-view, it should include the prelims with it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's on, I can see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you end up having, you know, it's crazy because you end up having, you know, even with that being said, this is kind of like going a little bit off from that, but, you know, you end up having these huge numbers too. Like, I don't know where it was coming from, but they were saying it was like 1.3 million. It was like around one. It was around 1.3 for, you know, viewership of this past Saturday's prelims, and they said that one is the biggest viewership that they've had since the UFC
207.
Yeah, since UFC 207 prelims, and that's really crazy because if you remember, UFC 207 was a big card for a lot of people. Because that was the return of Ronda Rousey, And you also had the co-headliner was Dominic Cruz versus Cody Garbrandt for the bantamweight title, which was also a big and interesting fight for a lot of the hardcore fans. So you had a really big fight for a lot of casual fans. I hate to use that word, but that's the truth. You had a Ronda Rousey fight, which was a big fight for most casual fans, and then you had a big co-main event for most hardcore fans, and I think the UFC knew that, and that's a big reason why that card was so successful. And, you know, it's just crazy that such a underwhelming UFC, like, main card, like UFC 234 and those prelims, would do 1.3 million 207 card when you really didn't have any star power on UFC 234 at all. And it was just a overall kind of a dull card. And it does those numbers. I don't know. Maybe that's just the ESPN effect. People that just are more used to ESPN are just giving UFC a shot just because it's on ESPN. I don't know. But that's really mind-blowing statistic to me. We'll have to probably talk about that more in the next show. Because that might need some deep diving.
Yeah, or maybe the numbers are fudged, and they're just trying to make it seem like viewership is better. They're probably putting out their viewership was higher than it was just so they can try to draw in more fans. Networks have been known to do that. But at the same time, sometimes a lot of people may have got the ESPN Plus for the prelims, just because of the 4-day free trial, you never know. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a full week. I thought it was a week free trial.
Yeah, it may have been 4 to 7.
Two weeks.
I can't remember which one it is. I know it wasn't that long. So, you know, a lot of people may have just jumped on that for the free for the freeness. So, But you know, man, I just think something should be done for the fan, and you know, and that was one of the models that Fox had that made probably the UFC much bigger of a name brand today than it was before they went to Fox, because they gave you so much free access to the UFC. You got the prelims for free, you got the fight nights for free, and it was normally on channels that was on regular cable that, you know, you didn't have to pay extra to get. So that's all I was trying to make my point about to ESPN, is that get something back to the fan. Don't try to make the fan pay for every little thing. Don't nickel and dime us to death. Because once you start nickel and diming me to death, guess what? You turn me off as a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Don't nickel and dime us to death, because you're killing us.
Yeah.
You're killing us, so. That basically, you know, we'll cut it off right there, and you know, we'll jump back into this on our next show. Oh, man, I'm tired. I hope everybody, I was actually sick. I'm actually pretty sick. I didn't even say that on this show, because the last time I said it, and then I end up, like, being more talkative than I even thought, so. It wasn't even worth mentioning, but I'm kind of sick. I might even go to bed after this. What's it called? It's been a good show. You know, everybody, get out there and shovel some snow. And shoveling sucks. I ain't going to tell you to put a smile on while you're shoveling. There's really almost no reason to do that. But, you know, get the shoveling done. So then once you get in the house and heat up some hot chocolate or whatever, or some tea or whatever, then you can smile. So get the shoveling done just so you can have the good feeling of being done with it if you got a lot of snow where you at. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We covered everything that I wanted to. I think we covered everything that we both wanted to jump into tonight. If not, we'll jump into it on our next show. You know, and Lee, if you have anything you want to go ahead and close it out.
Yeah, I don't really have nothing, man. Thanks for the caller that called in tonight. It was good to talk a little bit of NBA, talk a little bit of football. Like we always say, if you call up and you got something on your mind, it might be on the same topic that we're talking about, but we'll do our best to express our opinion and give you, you know, some informed answers or informed opinions or informed critiques. Thanks for listening tonight, everybody. you know, stay safe, take care of each other. And in closing, peace.